You guys didn't know Radar could sing that good, did you? That's a great job, Paulette. Peggy, you want to pray for me? Jesus. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to Joshua 5. Sons of Israel just passed over the Jordan and celebrated the first Passover meal. They find themselves faced with an insurmountable obstacle. The city of Jericho, which is about 2 miles around. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in." And in verse 13, what we find is Joshua, who's now responsible for the sons of Israel advancing into the land, we find him, it appears to be off by himself, separated from the rest of the people, trying to know what to do, trying to deal with the situation that's confronting them. And in light of that, it says in verse 13, it says, "Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, that he held up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" Joshua has this vision or this manifestation. And he said, "No." He really doesn't answer the question. He says, "No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the Lord, host of the Lord." That's the first time in Scripture that particular description of who is ever used, captain of the host of the Lord. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, 'What is my Lord to say to his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, 'Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so. And now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and the valiant warriors. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. And you shall do it for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead." There's a lot to this story, but we're going to just concentrate mainly on this part of it and try to hear what the Lord is saying to us today. Last week, and just talking about to the Lord about what's going on in people's lives and what I see happening, because many people that I've known who've experienced a real pouring out of the Spirit of God in their life are experiencing a fresh pouring out of the Spirit of God in their lives. And we've talked about that that revivals are a series of new beginnings, and a person can know them more than one revival in their life. Now, we pray, our hope is that we only have to know one revival, and then we walk in a sustained revival all the days of our life. But in this fallen world, sometimes we find ourselves intercepted, and He comes again and again and again. And that's what Advent reminds us of, is that He comes. I'm so grateful for that. In the end, no matter what's going on or how much you're tangled you are and how much torment you might be in the circumstances of your life or in your own soul, the good news is that Jesus comes. He doesn't love us from a distance. And the word that came to me, really nothing original or dramatic, is just fresh oil. And what we're experiencing, and many of you are experiencing, is just fresh oil. Just fresh oil being poured out from God. And one of the things I've discovered, I think that we see in this Joshua, who's going to experience fresh oil here, is that often the chance for fresh oil comes to us when we feel overwhelmed by adversaries. Look what he says in verse 13. When this man is standing opposite him with a drawn sword, Joshua goes to him and says to him, "Are you for us or for adversaries?" And what Joshua was faced with was an adversary that's overwhelming. And often what I find is that a person enters into fresh revival, experiences fresh oil in their life when they're facing a Jericho, when they're facing an adversary, whether the adversary is circumstantial, relational, or in the end, ultimately, it's internal, stuff going on inside our own souls. We feel overwhelmed by the stuff that's going on around us, overwhelmed by our own inadequacy, overwhelmed by our own sense of weakness, overwhelmed by our own inconsistency, or overwhelmed by our failure. That we seem to be caught in this quagmire, this miry clay of sin, and we're overwhelmed by the reality that it's gone on for so long, we don't think we can ever get out of it. And it's in that place where we've come against the wall, Jericho, we're kind of up against the wall, and we feel overwhelmed. That's the time. That's the time when God comes to us and offers us fresh oil. So if you're in a place where you're experiencing fresh oil, we celebrate that, and God show us how to walk that out in a sustaining way, in a growing way. God teach us to not be like the people at Transfiguration, like Peter, and wanting to build tabernacles there. God keep us moving. We don't want to just stop here. We want to pursue you and follow you and chase you and run with you. But for those of us who still haven't entered into fresh oil, and yet you find yourself overwhelmed, for whatever the reason, just this sense of being overwhelmed, that's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the kindness of God that draws a man to repentance. That's God's way of creating something in us that we may want but don't know how to get there. But we know it's absolutely essential that we're going to walk in revival. And that's desperation. We've talked about desperation a lot around here, and we may not know how to get there, but I can tell you this, God knows how to get you there. God knows how to get me there. He just raises up things, and just He's so patient with us. He sees the big picture. Even the issues in our own life that we're struggling with in sin. He knows that we can't walk in the sustained renewal and revival. He has to let us get overwhelmed by our own stuff, by the stuff around us. Because in that place of being overwhelmed, we're desperate. And desperation is always the foundation of fresh oil. Can't get around it. So let me just say this to you. If you really want to walk in fresh oil, if that's really something important to you, if this isn't a game to you, you ask God, "God, I want to be desperate for you. Make me desperate for you." Understand what God's going to probably do. Is it worth it to you? Is it worth it to you? There is no resurrection without the cross. You can't go through Sunday without going through Friday. So here we find Joshua desperate. He's the captain of the armies. He's the one who feels responsible, and he feels extraordinarily overwhelmed. And then someone says, shows up. He lifts up his eyes and looks, and behold, a man is standing opposite him. I love it when we find ourselves desperate, because there'll come a time when you'll get so desperate, you'll look up, and Jesus is looking right at you, staring right into your eyes. And he has a sword drawn. And Joshua goes to him, and he asks him the logical question, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And I believe this is a theophany. There is an angel of the Lord, but this is, I believe, this particular angel is Jesus himself.
Amen.
I believe this is Jesus manifesting himself in the Old Testament. And he's come to Joshua, and he's standing opposite Joshua in his moment of desperation, and he has his sword drawn in his hand. And he says to Joshua, no, I didn't come to take sides. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. He said, Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. I didn't come to fight on your behalf. I came to take over. I came to take over. I came to be the Lord of the host. I came with a sword drawn and all the resources of heaven at my disposal to take over your life and the situation of your life. He basically said to Joshua, Joshua, with all the resources of heaven, I'm prepared to take responsibility for your life and your world. Your little world. That's what the Lord does. Do you understand that that's what revival really is? Isn't that what happened to Ruth? We haven't finished Ruth. We'll find there's like one more sermon, which we'll get to eventually. But isn't that what happened to Ruth? Didn't Boaz become her champion? In a sense, didn't Boaz, with the sword drawn, say to her, I will take up your cause. I will take responsibility for your life and your world, and all the resources and everything that I have will be available to you. I'll redeem you. Restore to you all the loss occasioned by your sin and by your poverty. I'll respond to your desperation. And I'll be your champion. I'll take responsibility for your life and for your little world. That's an amazing way to live. What an invitation. That's what fresh oil is all about. It's in a new way, in a place of desperation, we find ourselves opposite Jesus with the sword drawn. Not just the Lamb, but the Lion of Judah with the sword drawn, saying to you, I will take responsibility for your life and your little world. I didn't come to help out. I didn't come to cheer you on. I came to take over. This vision of Jesus affects Joshua in two ways. There are two things it impacts Joshua in. And this is what fresh oil, when we're confronted, we have a vision of Jesus. Every fresh oil experience is because you have a fresh vision of Jesus. In this place of desperation. And a couple of things happen to Joshua. And Joshua, it says in verse 14, fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what is my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, the first thing Joshua does, in light of this vision of Christ, prepared to take over his world and take responsibility for his life. The first thing Joshua does is fall in gratitude and worship before him and in submission. Because he says to him, what has my Lord to say to my servant? That's always the response that allows him to do what he's offering to do. To take over. It's always the proper response of submission. It's always the true response of revival. Hear me. Shouting will come. But falling has to come first. We think revival is about shouting. Revival is about falling down before the Lord. Then the shouting comes. And he falls down before him in submission and in gratitude at this incredible offer. And Jesus says to him, well, then take your sandals off. Remember what taking your sandals off represent in the book of Ruth? Taking your sandals represent ownership. This can't just be a moment. This can't just be experience. This can't just be the hair standing on the back of your head, charismatic. I want your shoes. Because if you're going to stand in this place, let's think of it spiritually. If you're going to stay in this place, it means ownership. Holiness has to be your priority. This can't just be a moment of submission. If you're going to stand here, you've got to understand this is holy ground. To walk this out, for me to be the captain of your host day in and day out, we're talking about holy ground. I want your sandals. Do you ever wonder why sandals? Why Moses, the whole deal about sandals? Go back to Joshua. Ownership. And if you own it, what you say stays, stays. What you say go has to go. Ownership. Because revival is about holiness. I don't want to just experience revival. I want to stand in that place, don't you? I don't want to just experience Jesus as my captain today. I want it to happen tomorrow. I don't want just a foxhole experience to get out of this crisis. I want to know it perpetually when the sandals have got to come off. It's not just enough that you fall down. You have to fall down, sandals off. This is holy ground. Because you have to understand, this is so important that you get this. So significant. Before Jericho could fall, Joshua had to. Before our Jerichos can fall, if He's really going to take over and take responsibility of our life and fight our battles on our behalf, as the captain of the host, Lord of hosts, if we're going to experience all the resources of heaven to come to bear in our life on a daily basis, before those things that we're trusting Him for fall, we have to fall. We have to take our shoes off and stay there. There's this little poem. I love this. It comes from a revival that flowed out of East Africa. Lower and lower down at the cross, all the world's treasures counting but dross. Down at Thy feet, blessed Savior, we fall. Lower, still lower, Christ all in all. Joshua's second response was shouting, Tom. See, the shouting comes. You are overtaken by gladness and joy. But shouting rides on the back of falling. That's where many times Christians have missed it. They thought that revival, that fresh oil, is all just about being excited and praising and an experience. What happens when you come out of the meeting? What happens when you leave church? When you go back into the real world that you live in? See, the shouting is there, but the shouting always comes. She had to lay at Boaz's feet first in this act of contrition and submission, offering all that she was to him, and then asking him to redeem it before he could do it all. The celebration and the shouting are ours. Revival is always characterized by joy and shouting and celebration. It's the shouting. And we're experiencing some shouting, aren't we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shouting is a lot better than sighing. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sighing and sorrow will flee away. But if we're going to walk this out to the end, we're going to see Him finish. We're going to take all the land that God wants us to have. I don't want just a little piece. Jericho's not enough. Jimmy had the word. It's just the place where you start. We can have as much of the land of Canaan as we want. Our portion is it all. We can shout our way to heaven. But shouting has to stand on falling. It's holy ground from which we shout. You hear me? Happy ground and shouting ground is built on holy ground. And so he says, he gives him this plan about, look what he says to him. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and valiant warriors. He gives him the plan. At the end of 7 days, when the trumpet sounds, shout. We've talked about this before, but shouting time is when, in this place of being fallen before Him and broken and surrendered before Him, suddenly you don't see anything like you used to. You see things the way He sees them. You come into this rest of faith that brings the shouting because you realize I get to wake up tomorrow and find out what God did. He said to Joshua, see, and again in the natural, all Joshua could see was a fortified city. It was tightly shut. But what the Lord saw was a victory already won that Joshua just had to walk out. And victory is something that we lay hold of in our heart and our spirit long before any activity begins. Do you hear me? Victory is something that you experience in your heart. Faith happens on the inside. That's where victory is won or lost. Way before we walk out the stuff on the outside. And one of the things that happens to a person who's come into fresh oil is there's this place of faith in you, this new place that you come to where you're at peace because it may not make sense, but there's just this shouting time. That's why you want to praise God all the time. There's just this place of shouting because you know that now the Lord of hosts has taken control of your life. The Lord of hosts is now the captain of your life. The Lord of hosts and all the resources of heaven available to Him has taken responsibility for your life and for your world. And you know, though He may not disclose you every issue and all the details may not make sense, this one didn't, but you know that on the inside, you can praise Him. You don't have to see it yet. You don't have to know it yet. You don't have to experience it yet. You don't even have to walk out of the physical activity. You just know the captain of the host is leading the army of your life. And on the inside, there's always this already this place of rest. And the shouting is just a manifestation of faith. There's just this confidence. There's certainty that it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. You're no longer trying to fix it, work it out, make it happen, push it through. The Lord of hosts with a drawn sword has gone before you. And that your main responsibility in doing everything He says is shout while you do it. I'll read a few verses to you. One is from Psalm 138. Verse 8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. It's a great verse, isn't it? Psalm 57. Verse 2. I will cry to the God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. And then one more. Psalm 52. Verse 9. I will give thee thanks forever because thou hast done it. It doesn't just say that He will accomplish things for me. It says, thou hast done it. See, when a person's walking in revival, you're not just walking in hope. I hope something will be. I wish something would. There's this thing in you that knows that your life is in His hands. And He's already been there. You just have the privilege of walking it out and seeing what Jesus has already done. And in walking that out and doing everything that He says, our privilege and joy is to shout. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. And sees the Lord alone. Laughs and shouts at impossibilities and cries, it has been done. I think that there are two manifestations of a person who's walking in revival. Holiness and shouting. Holiness and shouting. And the deeper the first one goes, the louder the second one becomes. God, do it in us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.